content of this program is intended for those who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Demi Arsenault from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Lion Magazine. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the summer 2020 issue of Lion Magazine. We'll start today with a very important in the news item entitled We Stand Together. Lions Clubs International joined Kiwanis International, Optimist International, and Rotary International to issue a joint statement to deliver hope and comfort during the 2020 global health crisis. These renowned service organizations leveraged the strength of their combined networks of 3.2 million members and focused their collective skills, resources, and ideas to support frontline health workers and first responders as they battle this disease and save lives. The joint statement was an effort to remind the public that, in times of uncertainty, local service clubs remain committed to meeting the challenge of finding innovative ways to take action together to help communities around the globe heal and thrive. Here are a few quotes from a few of the leaders of those organizations. From Dr. Jung-Yul Choi, Lions Club International President, 2019 to 2021, and he says, "Great challenges test us, but they also bring us together. Lions are finding new ways to safely serve. Our Lions Clubs International Foundation has granted over $1 million to help communities facing extreme rates of COVID-19, and additional grant requests are being received daily. Our communities depend on service clubs, and we will be there, supporting and strengthening them together." From Mark Daniel Maloney, Rotary International President, from 2019 to 2020, "The global effort against COVID-19 depends on actions taken in every country. As people of action, this is our time to connect with each other to offer immediate help to people in need." From Adrian Elcock, Optimist International President, 2019 to 2020, "The scale and magnitude of this global pandemic requires our world's citizenry to heed the advice and cautions of the experts. The work and plans of our collective members and volunteers must not cease. Our immediate response after the crisis will be necessary to support local governments responding to the many social and economic challenges that will ensue in its aftermath." And finally, from Daniel Vigneron, the Kiwanis International President, from 2019 to 2020, and he says, "During these difficult times, we're seeing everyday heroism across the globe. I encourage us all to recognize the health and safety professionals who are putting their own health at risk for the greater good. To the educators, grocery workers, delivery drivers, and the countless professionals who can't stay home, the Kiwanis family thanks you. We all play an important role in keeping our friends and neighbors safe. Please follow the advice of the World Health Organization, your local health agencies, and the instructions given by your government. Please stay safe." And next, I want to move over to our Global Service Department, starting in Brazil. Lions mobilized to shield healthcare workers. When the country went into lockdown due to COVID-19, DG Wadoilson da Silva Miranda's manufacturing facility, which he owns with his wife, Tatiana Afio, came to a grinding halt. As Miranda hunkered down with the rest of the country to wait out the virus, he watched a steady stream of news coverage reporting a lack of safety equipment for healthcare workers and others on the front line. Then, PDG Roberto Komatsu, a doctor and fellow Lion, asked Miranda if he could print 3D frames for face shields at his facility. Miranda found that it took 3 hours to print a single ring on regular 3D printers. Miranda realized they could do better and decided to develop a manufacturing system at his facility that would enable them to produce 2,800 full face shields per day. "Our factory was paralyzed by the pandemic," says Miranda, "so I decided to use our equipment, space, and few employees to start production." He secured partners to help him build additional tools and cut acetate plates that fit in the frames to compose the face shield. When he realized this was a way Lyons could help, he put together a team and made a plan to mobilize his district. Lyons' Tatiana Afia Miranda, who's Miranda's wife, Antonio Hileo de Freitas y Silva, and Luis Henrique Zane joined forces together to put together the marketing campaign. They made a video explaining that many doctors and nurses were dying. "If we need to be hospitalized, who will take care of us?" they asked. The project was called Face Shields Save Lives. Donations poured in. The team opened a bank account and applied for and received a grant of $10,000 from LCIF. Lion Claudio Rego provided cut acetate for the visors, and Lion Robson Perez Sacco donated 24,000 Lions-branded stickers for the face shields. Their goal was to make and donate 50,000 face shields to protect workers fighting COVID-19. Clubs identified the needs of the hospitals in their areas, and the factory responded according to need. Clubs made the deliveries themselves, which led to a response from the local media. The project got coverage from radio stations, newspapers, and a national television program. Soon, orders were coming in from far away. The clubs share photos on social media of the deliveries, which has helped to further spread news of the project. Now, Lions are delivering face shields to senior facilities, emergency response teams, and neighborhood health centers. All the while, they take careful measures to follow all safety precautions to ensure everyone serves safely. Because the project has become so big, it's helped to increase awareness about Lions in Brazil. It automatically aroused curiosity in many people who did not know about the Lions movement, says Miranda. This is giving us the opportunity to establish relationships and bring in new members. With the cooperation of other districts, the team has upped their goal to 80,000 face shields, and Miranda's facility now operates two molds, producing 3,600 pieces per day with capacity for more. The pandemic and its economic impact has created the type of situation that could lead to member loss, says Miranda. Providing meaningful service and a sense of group is a way to prevent that. And another piece from our global service, this from the USA, entitled Don't Stop Believin'. The Edison Metro Lions in New Jersey first thought they could help others through COVID-19 by making non-medical face masks for their community. But that didn't materialize, says PDG Eddie Hui, founder and director of the Edison Metro Lions Club and Music Group. Sewing is not their expertise. Music is. The club's motto is, "We serve the community with music," and since chartering in 2008, they have prided themselves on entertaining at local senior centers, veterans' homes, and cultural events. Some performed at Lions Club's international conventions in Toronto, Chicago, Las Vegas, and Milan. Now they're on YouTube performing the 1981 Journey song, Don't Stop Believin', in the hopes of uplifting and motivating others through the pandemic. When the idea for a motivational video came up, past club president Lenny Hui asked volunteers from the four Leo clubs sponsored by the Lions, including Edison, East Brunswick, Highland Park, and Somerset. Clara Lee, president of the Highland Park Leo Club, already had a song in mind and knew she could use her skills in video editing to lead the fun project. But this time was different, with each Lion and Leo quarantined at home. Each member's role had to be explained and planned because the technology and the concept of individually playing parts of a song was new to certain members. And this was one of the hardest parts of the process, says Lee. 11 of the 38 members from three of the four Leo clubs performed. Although no Lions participated in the instrumental video, they helped by organizing communication between the clubs and sending in encouraging messages that can be seen in the video. Prior to quarantine, the Leos participated in environmental cleanup projects, food bank services, performing at senior homes, and fundraising events that support the LCI mission. Now, Lee said, they hope to also make a strong impact in the community virtually and remotely. And that video is available on YouTube if you want to look for it. Next, we're going to move over to one of our featured articles entitled All Eyes on NAMI, How Lions Clubs International is Boosting Membership in North America. In 1917, Melvin Jones laid the groundwork for what would become an international beacon of kindness and service. In a relatively short time after Lions Clubs International's founding, the organization grew beyond borders and cultural barriers, gaining members across the world. The organization today has more than 1.4 million members worldwide. Like anything in life, membership ebbs and flows, growing in some areas while declining in others. Prior to the 1980s, North American membership was strong, with nearly 571,000 members in Constitutional Area, or also known as CA-1, and 54,000 plus in CA-2. Despite the best efforts of many Lion leaders, we've seen a steady decline in North American membership over the past 40 years. There are plenty of factors that contribute to this trend, including lifestyle changes and overall levels of community involvement. Keeping all this in mind, the question still remains, how can clubs in CAs 1 and 2 grow their numbers, especially in the midst of a global health crisis? Enter the North American Membership Initiative, also known as NAMI or NAMI. NAMI's history. Dramatic change rarely comes easy, and 40 years of membership decline proved that Lions International needed to do something different to attract and retain members. That's why in 2018, International Vice Presidents Hayes Townsend and Brian Sheehan worked together to develop NAMI to help districts in North America boost their membership. The program started with 9 pilot districts across CAs 1 and 2, with chosen NAMI champions to lead and motivate their districts. This is something we can achieve if we have all hands on deck and become accountable, says Sheehan. Today, International Vice Presidents Doug Alexander, Brian Sheehan, and Dr. Patty Hill lead the program with a steering committee selected for their proven skills in growing club and membership numbers. They also formed the Young Lions Task Force to help districts charter Lions clubs for young people and assist districts with recruitment and engagement of young Lions. Together, the NAMI team is guided by 3 objectives to grow membership: rejuvenating districts with new clubs, revitalizing clubs with new members, and re-motivating existing members with new fellowships and exciting service. To a degree, NAMI is not new. Clubs and districts all have access to a wide range of resources and training opportunities available to help them succeed. The difference is the depth in which NAMI requires district leaders to go to meet their goals. The process seems simple, but it takes focus and dedication to get the most out of the steps involved. And those are, number 1, build a team. Number 2, build a vision. Number 3, build a plan. And of course, number 4 is build success. Reversing a long-term trend takes teamwork. Each team creates a shared vision of what they want their district to be, analyzes their current situation, and sets goals. Then the team develops a concrete plan to achieve their goals. This is where innovation and creativity are welcomed. Doing the things the way they've done has proven to be ineffective in meeting membership goals. Once the plan is underway, communication is vital to keep momentum, enthusiasm, and overall member satisfaction up. While some pilot districts are still overcoming obstacles, others have made great strides with the boost NAMI has offered. In Texas, pilot district 2S1 champion Roger Doyle says his district is finding great success. In 2019 to 2020, total membership has grown by 50 members. Prior to participating in NAMI, Doyle's district had a 5-year average of losing 22 members per year. The process and resources are structured to allow each district the ability to tailor the program to their specific needs, says Doyle. With a firm commitment from our district team, we've been able to hit the ground running, and the results are evident. By and large, pilot districts found the overall structure of the program to be the key in overcoming membership challenges. In California Pilot District 4L5, champion Rob Manning says he's seen the benefit of the planning, accountability, and information sharing that is part of the NAMI program. We are looking forward to implementing the NAMI program in all 15 sub-districts in MD4, Manning says. Other pilot district champions share this sentiment, finding value in the collaboration needed to achieve their goals. Northern Minnesota and Northwestern Ontario pilot district 5M10 champion Joanne Ogden emphasized the importance of working together in analyzing their district, creating district goals, and supporting and holding each other accountable. NAMI participation has shown great positives for the members themselves. In Alabama Pilot District 34A, champion Ron Siebold says that while communication and interaction within his district has improved tremendously, so too has members' involvement. Lions are excited because they know they are being heard as things they suggested are being implemented, Siebold says. More Lions are becoming involved as they see new and innovative ideas being tested to provide support for them and for their club. Siebold notes the change in mindset for his district. Rather than accepting unfavorable outcomes, he says NAMI has helped enable his members to make adjustments and take different approaches to their challenges. And what's next for NAMI? This year, that's 2020-21, NAMI has been opened to all districts in North America. And as NAMI grows, so does the role of our Global Action Team, who is taking the lead in communication and support with our districts. As more districts work through this challenge, we will use our collective experience to improve the program and grow our success. To learn more about NAMI, visit lionclubs.org/NAMI, and that was lionsclubs.org/NAMI, NAMI. To help grow membership in your district, contact your district governor today and volunteer. And another feature story, Nights of Prevention and Education. And the subtitle is Cyber Lions Club Puts a New Spin on Old Nickname. After receiving bad news about 8 years ago, Lion Scott Michaels was struck by a moment of clarity that changed his life. Michaels, who'd been counseling troubled youth in his community of Wilmington, Delaware, had just learned that one of those young people had been arrested again. I was sitting in my basement drinking and wondering how this kid got locked up again, he says. It was a moment where a hand came down and slapped me in the face. Cradling a drink in his hand, it was impossible for Michaels not to recognize the irony of the situation. How could he help others without owning up to his own alcoholism? This year, Michaels celebrates 8 years of sobriety, and he is still committed to helping young people avoid the pitfalls of addiction so they can grow into healthy, confident adults. When Belafonte Lion Daniel Elkins reached out to Michaels and invited him to join, Michaels said a wholehearted yes. He wanted to be a Lion, but he also wanted to become involved in the KOPE Cyber Lions Clubs, which stands for Knights of Prevention and Education, a new online club geared to helping young people live drug-free lives, make healthy choices, and value service learning. The club's goals also include changing the stigmas associated with substance abuse disorder. It's an illness, says Elkins, who helped found the club. There's a chemical change in the brain with addiction, and you're not the same afterwards. Elkins worked with Kimberly Haynes, a program development specialist for Lions Quest, which is focused on building social and emotional health for young people to develop KOPE. I thought it was a great way to engage lions in an effort that hits home for a lot of people, she says. An opioid epidemic has swept across the country in recent years, and no state or community has been untouched. It crosses every demographic barrier, race, and class, says Elkins. It's a scourge in my community. But it also is affecting communities with money and people who have access to pills. Elkins, a drug prevention specialist at the Bellevue Community Center in Wilmington, specifically recruited people like Michaels to join Lions because of their interest and work in substance abuse prevention. Elkins and Haynes both recognize the potential of Lions from across the country and globe to summon their talents and knowledge to help young people steer clear of drug and alcohol addiction, and to help educate other Lions interested in the cause. After becoming a Lion, I thought, what would happen if the world's largest service organization became the world's largest substance abuse prevention organization? Elkins asks. The club was just chartered in March of this year and has 23 members, including drug prevention educators, parents, and researchers who hail from various states, including Indiana, Illinois, California, and Florida. Elkins' dedication to fighting substance abuse was inspired when he was working previously in the music industry and lost a friend to overdose. That changed my life. I'd seen too many people affected by this scourge, he says. Elkins changed his career and, like Michaels, became committed to changing many of the misperceptions about addiction, including the shame associated with it. Rather than being treated as the health problem it is, addiction is often shrouded in secrecy, which both Elkins and Michaels find dismaying. Michaels believes that there are many people, including parents, grandparents, spouses, or other family members, who've experienced addiction either themselves or in their families or in their communities, and yet are reluctant or unsure about how to address it. It's like you're fighting a life-ending disease and you're not telling anyone about your problem. Not a medical professional, not your family or your friends, Michaels says. Meanwhile, there are other people in your own neighborhood who are also fighting the same battle, and they're doing it alone too. The Lions' overall mission of service attracted Elkins and Michaels, but they also knew their community, and many others have pressing issues besides vision impairment. The overwhelming darkness in my community isn't vision impairment, Elkins says. It's opioid addiction and substance abuse. The problem in Delaware is heightened on the state's Division of Substance Abuse and Mental Health website, which keeps a running total of the number of deaths due to suspected overdoses. It is at 128 so far in 2020. Delaware is a relatively small state, but its problem with addiction is significant. It is among the states with the highest rates of death due to drug overdose, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, also known as the CDC. In 2018, Delaware, with a rate of 43.8 drug overdose deaths per 100,000, 43.8 drug overdose deaths per 100,000, was only outranked by one other state, and that was West Virginia, which had 51.5 deaths per 100,000. Other states with high rates of substance abuse overdose deaths include Maryland, who's at 37.2 per 100,000, Pennsylvania at 36.1 per 100,000, Ohio at 35.9 per 100,000, and New Hampshire at 35.8 per 100,000. In the nation as a whole, the CDC reports that there were 68,557 drug overdose deaths in 2018. Elkins' dedication to shedding light on the problem of addiction is illustrated in a Facebook video post that show him with a friendly smile on his bearded face, asking people to support and get involved in KOPE. He is proud of the people who've joined the club and who see it as an opportunity to change lives. When people realized that lions aren't just interested in eyeglasses and pancakes, we began recruiting a whole new type of lion, Elkin says. They are youth advocates. Another KOPE member is Adam Underwood, also a prevention specialist at the Bellevue Community Center, who finds that being of service to others has had a crucial role in his own journey toward living substance-free. Finding positivity and being of service to others and everything that comes with that helps with addiction and behavioral health and helps me maintain my purpose in life, he says. Underwood, who is 43 years old, has developed his own coping mechanisms, including meditation, prayer, and exercise, that have helped him to stay sober, and he wants to share those with young people. He believes that shaming young people doesn't work and wants to find better ways to reach them. What's always been said is that drugs are bad and you're a bad person if you use them, he says. But that's not effective because some kids will rebel and do drugs as a result. Although it is only a couple months old, the club has already held virtual chats with Leos and is training young people to become drug prevention advocates among their peers. Leos have created video public service messages that are posted on social media channels, and Underwood says it's exciting to see young people taking up this cause. We can give them the facts and education, and they can be the messengers. They can take the message to their peers, he says. The club created a coordinated social outreach plan for National Prevention Week, which was held on May 10th to 16th, to inspire action and prevent substance abuse and mental health disorders. The KOPE Club and Leos also participated in a town hall meeting sponsored by the U.S. Drug Administration that focused on street drugs and tips to avoid them, and a webinar highlighting suicide prevention during the week. Suicide is sometimes taken as a way out for people deeply affected by substance abuse, Haynes notes. The club is dedicated to addressing all types of substance abuse disorders, including alcohol, pills, vaping, and smoking, as well as mental health issues. Mental health cannot be ignored because you have to be aware of your own feelings to know if you might be abusing a substance because you're depressed, Elkin says. And the idea is spreading. The idea of creating a club that can be tailored to a particular community's needs around substance abuse is appealing to Valerie Clark, a member of the Channelport Basques Lions Club in Newfoundland and Labrador in Canada, which is working toward founding a KOPE cyber club of their own. It already has 14 of the 20 members it needs to get started. And sadly, we have to cut that article a little bit short because we have run out of time for today's episode of Lion Magazine. But be sure to tune in next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Demi Arsenault for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for the print and visually impaired audience. Lion Magazine is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any questions or comments, please call 919-832-5138. And again, that number is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service, and have a wonderful day.